Is America's future up for grabs? Can a nation long exist with open borders? We saw that the previous administration had wide open borders, and it's estimated that at least 10 million illegals, including, you know, many criminals, poured in. Now, after conflicts on the street of Minneapolis, some Americans are actually opposing the current administration from going too hard in trying to deport illegal migrants. Author, speaker, historian Bill Federer has written many books on America, including our Christian heritage. You can find such books as America's God and Country. And Bill often comments on current issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Bill Federer, we welcome you back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jerry. Great to be with you.
Sure. Okay, so recently I saw that there was a poll reported by The Economist, January 13th, they found that more Americans favored abolishing ICE, 46%, than keeping ICE, 43%. And yet here ICE is basically just trying to, enforce the laws on the book, the laws that Congress has passed. And these are the laws, this is the reason that Trump won the election in 2024. And they're just trying to do this. Now, maybe you could say, well, they're not doing it nicely or something like that. I'm not sure. Your thoughts?
Midterm elections, PSYOPs, psychological operation. In other words, I wrote a whole book on the history of socialism and the Cold War and how the CIA and the KGB would overthrow governments. And they would have some crises that they could stir up into a frenzy to destabilize the country, and they would blame it on the leader of the country so that his popularity would fall, and then they would do a coup or a rigged election. And this went on for 50 years, and they perfected these tactics. Obama is the one who turned them inward on America. Michael Waller wrote a book called Big Intel and how the Cold War heroes have become dupes of the deep state. So all these courageous agents, CIA and so forth, and trying to keep countries from falling into the Soviet orbit, Obama turned them into being used to destabilize America so that they could have his party stay in power. So midterm elections, you have to understand for the listener that the headlines are the nervous system of the body politic. So you have a body, and your body does what your brain tells it to do and what your brain is thinking at this current moment. The headlines are what the brains of the body politic are thinking. So the battle is over the headlines. Right before these riots in Minneapolis, what was the headlines?
Oh, I know. I know. It was all about how there was Minnesota fraud. There was fraud in Minnesota. Billions and billions of dollars that was, being funneled to Somali refugees and supposedly to, have daycare centers and autism centers and so forth. And it turns out there were no people there. It was all just one big fraudster, basically it was a huge theft of our taxpayer money.
Right. And so they wanted to bump that off the headlines. It's sort of like the Three Stooges, where one of the Stooges would say, "My head hurts," and the other one would take a hammer and hit his foot. And then he would grab his foot and he'd hop up and down. And he says, "Ow, ow, my foot." And he goes, "Well, at least you're not thinking about your head." And so that's what happened. The country is thinking about fraud being funneled through these daycares to Democrat candidates. And it's money laundering. It's funny. Funneling to Somali terrorists overseas. It's money, terrible. And then they go bang, bang. They hit on the foot with these riots, and now the headlines are thinking something else. In the midterms is what it's all about. Because I just read where Tarrant County, Texas, a state Senate seat in a district that Trump had won by 20% was just won by a Democrat. If this is the way it's headed toward the midterms, if they can flip some congressional seats and get a majority, they will immediately start impeachment trials of Trump. And then they'll do investigations on every single person in his cabinet. And they won't stop with there. They'll go after all his supporters, and then they'll go after you and me. They'll go after the moms that object to the transgendered agenda being pushed on their kids without them knowing about it. They'll go after pro-life Catholics. They'll go back to the way it was just a year and a half ago. And so that's what they're wanting to do. They're focused on the midterms. Charlie Kirk was a dear friend of ours. I knew him since 2014. And at his memorial, the whole country's enthusiasm was get married, have kids, save the country. And Charlie, I knew him. He was focused on elections, politics. And then they were able to do a psyops. And again, I go back to the Cold War. They find out who the influencers are, and then they feed them with information to do what? To cause division. And so they fed some well-known influencers with divisive topics. And instead of it being save the country, it was, oh, let's blame this person and that person, this group and that group. And it diffused a good percentage of that enthusiasm. Again, midterms. I do think the deep state was behind his killing. I don't think it was Israel. I think it was the deep state. And they want to stay in power. And so this is a battle for the soul of America. And America is holding back globalism. Trump is not a globalist. He's standing up. I was recently in Michigan with a Anglican minister named Calvin Robinson. Big, tall, black gentleman, brilliant. May have seen the YouTube videos of him debating at Oxford. And he says, I'm now pastoring in Grand Rapids. I cannot go back to England. I'm like, what do you mean you cannot go back? He goes, censorship laws. 16,000 people are in prison today in England, some for as little as liking a post. And so I go online, sure, a New York Post article, 30 people a day being arrested for retweets in London. I mean, they are cracking. That's what they want to do in America. And Trump is pushing back against this. This is the battle for the soul of the country. And the last thing we need is churches telling people to sit at home. if you look what's happening in Iran, you have people that do not like a totalitarian Islamic dictatorship. And what's happening, you have the red-green axis. You have red being communists and green being Islamists, and they both hate the Judeo-Christian freedoms we have in America. And so if we like Judeo-Christian freedoms, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I tell people the most important thing is to bring people to Christ, but the second most important thing is to preserve the freedom to do the most important thing. All right, if you really believe the gospel is the answer, you're going to stay involved wanting to preserve the freedom to preach it, and not let them indoctrinate your kids with a bunch of anti-Christian lies. And so I sort of jumped into a lot here, Jerry.
Yes, you did. And let me back up. It seemed to me that you were implying that the death, the murder of Charlie Kirk was, beyond just that one fellow who has been arrested for that and has yet to have his day in court. You're saying it's beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, after studying assassinations in all the third world countries and during all the Cold War, they would do assassinations and they'd have some dupe up in front that the media could blame and the real killers could get away. This is just me. This is just after reading lots of these stories over and over again. I think that there was deep state behind it, very similar to Trump there at Butler, Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, we'll see on those things. Let me shift over, if you will, to what happened with that attack on a church that was, again, the people inside that attack, they were against ICE. And it was reported that one of the ministers at that church was supposedly a member of ICE. I'm not even sure if that's 100% true. But anyway, there's no question that in St. Paul, at City's Church on January 18th, these pro-sanctuary folks came in, 40 people. They were yelling at the parishioners. They were even saying to... they were terrorizing the kids. I mean, there's already even been a few arrests over this. You know a lot about religious freedom. This is the same battle. It's just moved over to a new front. I would like your comments on this, Bill, especially in light of the founders of America.
Right. England was Anglican, and they did not like other denominations, Presbyterians, Baptists, and so forth. And in Scotland, they had the killing time. where the government soldiers would come into the church if they weren't using the Anglican Book of Common Prayer, and they would disrupt the service and arrest people. And so they would, the church would meet in the fields. Well, the government would send its army into the fields and kill them. It's called the killing time. And then you have Baptists, separatists. A lot of people have heard of Pilgrim's Progress, right? John Bunyan. Well, he was having a service, and the government busts in and drags him away because it was unauthorized. And then you have Virginia. It's officially Anglican, and there are Baptists. And they would have their services disturbed by people busting into their church service and often grabbing the pastor and say, well, you want to be baptized? And they'd half drowned him in the nearby creek. So James Madison introduced a bill in 1785 titled Punishing Disturbers of Religious Worship. And it says, if any person shall of purpose maliciously or contemptuously disquiet or disturb any congregation assembled in any church, he may be put under restraint during religious worship by any justice present and shall be committed to prison, there to remain till the next court, and upon conviction shall be further punished with imprisonment. This is James Madison saying that we're not going to disturb religious worship. The Massachusetts Bay Colony, 1648, had it in their constitution that venting corrupt and pernicious opinions, open contempt for the word preached, profanation of the Lord's Day, disturbing the peaceful administration and exercise of worship, shall be punished by civil authority. The Carolinas, 1669, no person of any other church or profession shall disturb or molest any religious assembly. There's South Carolina, 1788, no person shall disturb or molest any religious assembly. And then it goes on to say, nor shall any reproachful, reviling, or abusive language against any church, that being the certain way of disturbing the peace by engaging them in quarrels and animosities. So you cannot bust in and try to engage them in quarrels and animosities while they're trying to have church. This is America. You cannot have any excuse to bust in. If you don't like them, then you can try to witness to the people. You do not disrupt their service. Maine had a law in 1911 called Lord's Day Penalty for whoever on the Lord's Day or at any other time behaved rudely or indecently within the walls of any house of public worship, willfully interrupts or disturbs any assembly for public worship, shall be guilty of the crime. So this is part of America's history, its heritage. That's why they fled from Europe. They didn't want people coming in and government people disrupting their service. And you can't claim that you're a journalist disrupting the service. If you want to journal it, you stand outside, but you don't participate in the crime.
Yeah,
it would be like, I'm going to participate in killing somebody because I want to report on it.
Well, okay, we have about 40 seconds to wrap all this up. What do you see happening in the near future, Lord willing, if God's people, let's say, mobilize in 30 seconds? Bill Federer, AmericanMinute.com.
Yeah, well, we can keep this great experiment going and give our kids a country where they have freedom. That's what I've dedicated myself to, and you as well, Jerry, in a very excellent way. This is each one of us. Years ago, I talked to Charlie, and somebody asked, you know, are we going to turn around? He says, I wish I could say for sure one way or the other, but if I say we're going to win, you won't do anything, and if I say we're going to lose, you won't do anything. So he says, I think the Lord's watching us to see what we're going to do.
Oh, that's an excellent point to end on. AmericanMinute.com. Bill Federer, you're a national treasure. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.